Okay, Your Honor.
Good morning. We're in Sanhedrin. Daf Kaf, Amud Aleph. 13 lines from the bottom. New bit of the Mishnah. When we feed the king his morning meal, his morning as in passed away, as opposed to morning as in good morning. So when we feed him his morning meal, not his morning good morning, but his morning bad morning, what happens? We sit on the floor and he sits on a dargash. The Gemara wants to know, my dargash, what is a dargash? Amar Ola. Ola explains like this. Arsa Degada. It's an arsa, a bed. Degada. Apparently gada means good luck. Good luck. It's a fortuitous bed. A bed that brings good luck, or good luck bed. Some people have a four-leaf clover. Some people have a
horseshoe,
and other people have an arsa darga, a bed of good luck. What does it mean? It says in the footnote here that there was a custom to set a table and make a bed in one's house that you remain unused, and these were omens of good luck. A good luck bed, guest bed. Okay, but you didn't use it. But then, apparently you used it for the king. The king sat on this bed at the time of his mourning. Or at least to eat the first meal. Amulei Rabbanan Le'ula. Rabbis said to Ula, Mi Ika Midi, can it be, is there such a thing? Da'ad Ha'idna, that until now, Lo otvine, he never sat on it. Bahashta, and now, motvinan lay, he does sit upon it. What are they saying? What's their argument? They're saying, if you have a bed that you set aside and not sit on, because it's good luck, why would you use it now at the time you need it to be kind of a good omen? You're going to take this good omen and start using it. Let's, for example, if you're, I know, someone gave you a four-leaf clover for good luck, and you held on to it, but you held on to it for good luck. And then, when you're having a bad time, you ate it. Now's not the time to you need that to use it. You just lost your bed that nobody uses, because you're using it. Like having a cup for Eliyahu Hanavi, Ledugma, maybe, and then drinking from it. There's no longer a cup for Eliyahu Hanavi. Like leaving it out on the table, and just when it comes to opening the door, you have a sip. Surely that's the time when you need to have it how it's meant to be. That's the time it was ready for. The fact that you left the bed unused was apparently the good luck sign of it. I don't know why. But now you're using it. That's got a time when... Yeah, but the question is... It's a question anyway. The question is, but you just used it. You just used it up. So how can it be a good luck thing, Charm, anymore? Like, if you ate your four-leaf clover... So you don't have your four-leaf clover anymore. It's very nice you ate it, but the whole purpose wasn't to eat it. It was to hold it and look at it and whatever it was. I don't know. That, I think, is the question. It might not be. But if you have a different question that you can fit into the words of, is there such a thing that until now we didn't sit upon it, and now that he became a mourner, that he's sitting upon it? That's the problem.
The question I have is,
if it's a regular sized bed,
yeah,
you're taking up an awful lot of room for something that's supposed to symbolize good luck. Those
you're
houses
right.
were not that big.
You're right. You're right. Uh-huh. I agree. I don't know how they justify the use of the space. It's a good question.
What was the question?
The question or the question? He's saying, if you had a bed that you left not used for good luck, in the old days, the houses were very small. To have a whole bed taking up space that just sat there and didn't do anything is not very... Could be that we're talking only about the king. The king had such a thing, but your average person wouldn't have room to have a dargash.
What do you mean back in the day?
Nowadays, in Yerushalayim, right. He's got a spare bedroom that they just leave like untouched. And a bed, not slept in, no rubbish on it, no mess.
Even rich people, you know, 100 square meters isn't that much.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And your average apartment, your average year is probably 70 or 80,
yeah.
Or even less.
Yeah. Okay, the question's not terribly clear, but that appears to be. Rashi's explanation is not exactly like it's worded here in the article. Rashi's explanation is, let's see where. Ad hashta lav otivna. Ad hena lo yashav al ota mita. Until now, you didn't sit on this same bed. Sharei munachat haya lenoi habayit, because it was left alone for the noi habayit, for the beauty of the house, decorate the house. Right, so he's saying that the mazal of the house, that's why you didn't use them for the mazal of the house. So now you're using them. Davka, I think I need my mazal in place. Leave, don't touch it. You know, we'll use it now. No, leave it alone. Now I need the mazal. You know, Davka, now I need the mazal.
Mazal means luck.
Yeah.
So now it's not good.
So now I need the good luck. I need good luck. Yeah, in morning I need good luck. I've got all these dinimos over me.
I mean, especially with all the demons coming around.
Demons coming around too. And that's not just the neighbors and the family.
But let's say you lost your job.
Yeah.
So use it too.
Why use it? It doesn't bring you good luck to use it. It brings you good luck to leave it in the corner, not use. That's what it says. That's the whole idea. You leave it over there, not use, and that brings you good luck.
So they bring no luck, so take it off. Yeah, didn't bring luck.
It's like having a lucky dollar from the Rebbe, so to speak, right? And it's like brings you good luck, and then you say, you know what? I'm my finances are really bad. I'll spend it.
I
just lost my. That was my what I needed. I need to keep it. And then you spent it.
Only 1 year I get from Rabbi Rush 2 shekels and kovim. So then bring you good luck. Maybe I have to use it.
Oh, that's a different shita. But here the shita appears to be that you have to leave it alone, not use. And if that's true, if that's the shita, that's how the thing brings good luck. I don't know how, I don't understand how it works. But if that's the way, surprise to leave it over there, not use it. Who says that? I mean, we don't know, but that would have to be an answer. But without that answer, the basic pshat that we have is, this is how it is good luck. You leave it alone in the corner. So leave it alone in the corner.
Why
don't
you not use it every day, so you have always luck?
Because that's not how it works. He's saying it works by the fact that it's left alone in the corner. Once you start to use it, it's no longer a dargash, now it's just a bed. If you want to have a dargash means something that's not used and left alone.
Look when you have the talisman,
yeah.
You use it.
The And that's the segula is to use it. But the segula for this thing is not to use it. That's how it works.
Why you now use it?
So that's the question. So that's what the way you say. Why now use it when it's meant to be? If that's what a dargash means, right? That's what Ullah said. And then rabbis come along and say, doesn't seem right. If that's what a dargash is, why would you now use it? That's their argument. That's the argument of the rabbis against Ullah. They're going against his shita of what a dargash is. It can't be that, because if it were, you wouldn't be using it right now. Matkifla Rava. Rava argues back. My kusha, what's the problem? It's not a problem, says Rava. Dilma, maybe. Mideida hava achachila ushtia. Since they are eating and drinking, feeding him and giving him drink, giving him food and drink. Dad ha'ena lo achilna v'lo ashkine. That until now they didn't feed him and they didn't give him to drink. Hashta kam mochlinan le v'ka mashkinan le. But now we are feeding him and we are giving him to drink. What's he saying? Rava appears to be saying like this. I'm not 100% following the whole thing over here, but he appears to be saying, you're right, before we left it alone, now we're using it. But it's not a problem, it's not a kushya for me, why? Because also, before the people didn't feed me, and now they're feeding me. Right? Also, that wasn't a good thing. Before that, it's not appropriate for the people to have to feed the king and to give him food and drink. Right? The king should be looking after himself. So you're right, this is a special time. Normally the dargash is left alone. That's its functioning. But now we're in a different time and things are a little bit topsy-turvy. Just like you see that the people are feeding me. And they wouldn't before, but now in this circumstance they are. So too, the bed normally wouldn't be used, but in this circumstance it is. That's my understanding of what's going on. If anyone has any other drosh?
Keep on going, it gets even more interesting.
Right, well that's the end of that bit then.
Oh, what does Rashi say?
He doesn't say anything about it.
Bring the food. He got his own food in this dargash on his table. He used the dargash to eat it, but it's not his own food.
So that's okay. He seems to be comparing. He's saying, just like before they didn't feed me, but now they are. So too, before I didn't use it, and now I am.
Oh, there's another analogy.
Yeah.
Get where it is. The analogy is during Pesach we wean.
Okay.
And
right.
Because in the olden times they would have like beds to sit on for eating.
Right.
So couldn't this be the same thing as a bed to sit on for eating?
Right. No, they did have beds to sit on for eating. But this is just a different type of bed. Everybody else normally had a bed. But this is a special bed that was left alone in the corner for eating on. But we're. But without this, they would have had a different bed for eating on, like their normal bed of eating on.
Same thing as
fish. That's why it's called a bed, and we don't have a problem. The Gemara doesn't have a problem that you're eating on a bed. Right? It doesn't ask the question, what are you doing eating on a bed? Because that was normal. You're right. They did eat on a reclining bed type structure.
Right, because we covered somewhere where who benches first and on the order.
Right.
When you have multiple beds around.
Right. Yeah, it's a strange idiom. I don't really understand eating while you're lying down. It doesn't work for me. But, so, anyway.
Because I'm just thinking that we're using the word bed in the wrong context.
Ah.
Instead of a bed of sleeping, it would be a bed for you.
A recliner.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Ella.
Oh, what does Rashi say?
So the Rashi's on this. Now we're feeding him. Michel Acharim from others. Now he's being fed by other people, right, which is not normal. Right. No. Okay. Ella ikasha hakasha. Rather, Ulla apparently managed to deflect the first problem that the rabbi said. Right, the rabbi's initial problem was, why using the bed if that's it's designated not for use and now you're using it? So Ulla had a reason. So they have now a different kasha. Ella ikasha hakasha. So rather, if there is a kasha, this is the kasha. This is the kasha on Ulla instead. Good addition, different one. Dargash einot sarich lekapoto ela zokpo. A dargash, we've learnt elsewhere in a different brayta, that a dargash einot sarich lekapoto is not required to turn it over. Ela zokpo, rather we stand it up, zokef, upright. Right, there was a custom, we don't have it nowadays, of mourners turning over their beds. You did turn over the beds, try and sit on the. Right, we don't do it, Baruch Hashem, for small mercies. We don't have that custom anymore. We have different beds. Maybe, probably have different reasons as well, but at least one of the reasons is that we have a different type of bed. The old bed.
Isn't the old bed like your modern Greek bed?
Like what?
Your modern Greek bed, very low to the ground.
Don't know. I thought it was higher. Have you ever got pictures? And you can maybe tell me if this is right or wrong.
Doesn't
give you the normal one. So my understanding of the old type of bed was like this. That was the old punch type of bed. And when they said to turn it over, right, you turned it over and you could sleep on it. Right, because of these, the legs protruded out from the top. You have that? Okay. Alright, so that, now hold on, so he's going on the next bit. We're going to see that the next bit doesn't have legs. But the normal bed does. The normal bed has legs, so that when they used to turn over the beds, they would turn them over, and this was rope of some sort. Over here. And then, so, Tom, there's not a lot of difference. It's upside down. It's Seaman. So, you change your place in shul. Yeah. Right, so it's a different Seamanim that, to remind us for various reasons, whatever, that we're still importing. But the Dargash, you don't have to turn over, why not? Because it's built differently. The Dargash is built more like a table. And the materials on here, on the top, and the legs don't protrude, so you can't turn it over. Why? Well, you could, but you're gonna damage the thing. We're gonna see later on. The final version is they were made of leather. This top was made of leather, and if you turned it onto the floor, you'd damage the leather. So we don't want to put you through that. So the dargash, apparently, so you don't have to do that, but you have to stand it on its end. Over that was. So we've got a brighter that says a dargash, you stand on its end. And you don't turn it over. And if you would have thought, if you would have thought that this this dargash is really, like Ola said, a bed of good luck, an asa daga, the gada. Am I a not sorry if I could put off? Why are you not required to turn it over? Why? Bahatanya, because we're taught in a brighter, hakofer et mitato, the one who turns over his bed, right, meaning a mourner, lo mitato bilvad, not just his bed, who kofer, he turns over, ela ko mitatot, mitot, sheyeshlo, betoch beito, who kofer, rather all other beds in the house, not just the mourner, everyone's bed gets turned over in the house of a mourner. So if it's true, like Ullah says, that a dargash is a type of bed, so it should also get turned over. Right? So that's the kusha that the Rabbanan have on Ullah. Ullah, we don't believe that a dargash is really a bed, because if it was a type of bed, it would have to get turned over in the mourner's house. And we have a brighter that says, dargash ain't not sarif l'kabato, a dargash you don't have to turn over. So it must be pshat. We're going to say it's not, we're going to see a reason why. But pshat of the argument, it can't be a bed, because otherwise you'd have to turn it over. We have a brighter that says you don't need to turn it over, it must be that it's not a bed. You see in the end a different reason why you don't turn it over, but before you get to that point, you have to say it can't be a bed. All beds have to be turned over, and this one it says you don't have to turn over. My kasha, what's your kasha? Right? In order we could defend Ullah. Dilma, maybe, mide dahava amita miuchedet le kalim. Maybe this bed is a specific bed for kalim. What does it mean? It's more like a table. Right? We're using it to stack clothes on, to put the pots on, the pans. Right? The katane, like we learned in a writer, im haitam yuchedet lekelim, if it was specified for kelim, enosarech lekapato, you don't need to turn it over. But if you're not using it as a bed, but you're using it for another reason, you're using it like an extra table, extra piece of furniture, and you don't have to turn it over. So maybe Ola can say, you're right, still is a bed, but it's a bed that's specified for kelim for whatever reason, it's got a specific reason, and therefore that's the reason why you don't have to turn it over.
It's like a ship's bed, in which you have a mattress on top,
yeah,
and underneath is a standard hutch, you know, for clothing or utensils.
Okay.
It's like built in.
Inside, not on top, like
right.
I explained. I explained
inside,
you're
like
using
drawers.
Like a table, but you're saying maybe it's underneath like drawers.
Maybe it's like a sofa.
Anyway, the mattress is on top.
Yeah.
And then flat.
Uh-huh.
And then underneath that are drawers. Or...
And it has kalim, right? It has kalim inside.
A hutch, which
yeah.
we use for dishes.
Uh-huh. And then you can't turn it over. Huh?
Sofa.
Okay. So Ullah manages to recover his position at this point by saying there's a possibility it could be a meter for kalim. So the Gemara comes back, the Rabbanan comes back. It says, Ella, ikasha, hakasha. Okay, fine. You're right. That's not the kasha. If there is one, then this is a kasha. We'll go again. We'll try a different route. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Dargash, matir, karvitin, vahunafel me'alav. Right? A dargash, the law for a dargash, is that we matir, we untie. Karativin, that means it's bindings, and it falls by itself. Meaning, if we say that that this is our dargash, the material is tied to the edge of the bed, right? It's a piece of cloth, a piece of material, whatever, it's tied with loops, whatever it is, for the edge of the bed, then you untie the tyings and it falls. You don't need to turn it over. That's the reason why you don't turn off you don't turn over the dargash. You don't need to. You just untie the mattress, the cover, and it falls by itself. Right, that's the law of what a mourner does when he's going through his bedroom and deciding what to do with this bed. Do we turn this one over? Do we drop them out? What do we do with this? So if it's a dargash, it's a type of bed that is material with loops around that frame. So for that one, you don't need to turn it over. Just undo the loops. I don't know where you sleep. Maybe you sleep, but it doesn't say that. But you undo the loops and let it fall.
If it is slipknot, all you have to do is one, and the whole thing would just fall apart.
That's true. It could just be one piece of rope that loops, that goes right all the way through each one. You just, maybe, top anyway, to take off the last knot. Okay. So that's what Rashbag says about a dargash. V'isal kadatach alsa daga. And now, if you wanted to say, like Ulla, that actually our dargash is an arsa dagada, a bed of good luck. Kautivan v'yetle? Does a bed of good luck have bindings that can be untied like this? Apparently not. Apparently not. Apparently, you can't have a bed of good luck that would be built in such a fashion. The Gemara doesn't explain why. The footnote says, see Ran and Rashi in the Darim 56b. Right? So, there's no real understanding here of... here, Kautivan, let's see the Rashi over here. Kautivan mi'itle, does it have bindings? Haloka asher mitot osin otomita. Not like other beds is this bed made. Apparently this is a special made. Everybody knows that a bed of good luck is not made this way. Apparently it's known. Maybe it's related to the fact that it wouldn't be good luck if it was made this way. It's a known thing. Can't be that is the we don't know enough about Talmudic beds. Maybe your picture comes to indicate something useful there or not. But the plain understanding of what he's saying is, can't be. Maybe. So, okay. So that was, so up until this point, where are we holding now in terms of our argument between Ulla and Ravanan? Ulla wanted to say that it was a bed of good luck. It was Arsa de Gada. And we came to a final Kusha that holds. Final Kusha, the third attempt by Ravanan to give a Kusha, was it can't be that because Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that with a dargash you untie it and let it fall. And Rabbi said, clearly a dargash can't be a bed of good luck because a bed of good luck does not have bindings. Okay, that's where we got to. Now, Ella Rava. We've got another Rava now. So we've got now a different direction. Ella rather, ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came to Babylon, Bavel, from Eretz Israel, ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came, Amar, he said different. Amar li hahu mi Rabbanan. It was told to me by one of the rabbis, the Rav Tachlifa Shmei. And Rav Tachlifa was his name. The Hama Shachiach B'Shuka de Gildai, who was known to be found to frequent the market of the leathers, the leather makers' market. Right? The Rav Tachlifa was regularly in the leather makers market. Ravale my dargash. And he said to him, so he said to me apparently by the amendment, if you amend the text to say you said to me instead of you said to him. You said to me, you said to him. Outside the salah. It's a bed of salah, of leather. Actually, it's a bed of leather. That's what a dargash is. Obviously, it wasn't well known what a dargash was. Clearly, it wasn't obvious, right? It wasn't such a... They're trying to work out. They have a Mishnah presented to them, and the Mishnah says that the king sits on a dargash. And they're all sitting in the Beit HaMidrash, scratching their heads, saying, what is a dargash? So, when Rabin comes, he says, I can answer that Mishnah. I know what a dargash is. I was in the leather markets, and they told me a dargash is a bed made of leather, like the with a cover of leather. Amar Rabbi Yomaya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yomaya said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, also added on to what it is, dargash seirugo mitocho. It's seirug. It's weaving, kippa sruga. It's weaving is mitocho, is within. Mita seruga meyagaba. But in a mita seruga meyagaba. But in a bed, it's weaving is above it. So what's the difference? So like this is the. Right, and that's a bed frame. So, in the case of a dargash, the weaving goes through the middle of the wood. Right?
So they actually make holes in the frame.
In the frame, and they and you're lying through the you're in the middle of the frame. Whereas in the normal bed, the ropes loop around the top.
So
you've got a thick piece of wood, and in normal bed you loop them around the top, over the top, and you stretch over the mattress across the top, right? And the wood around the frame, and they're looped over the top. And that's how it's held together.
So it's like.
But in here, you actually drill through the middle of the wood, and that's your frame, and you're drilling through the middle.
So, in a standard bed, it's like having a fisherman's net,
yeah.
Using very thick, actually not necessarily have to be that thick, but I mean thick enough so that it can support. Two people.
Yeah, I don't know what the purpose or efficacy or the tensile strength is of what the difference is between doing it these two ways. Well, one, you're internal, like you've got a frame around you, because you're sunk to an extent, right? In the dargash, you're sunk within the frame, and the other one, you're lying on top of the frame like you're lying on a table.
It's probably more comfortable because you don't have the give on a regular bed like you would for a dargash because the ropes have a little more give.
Uh-huh. And whereas you've got the table and support, you've got the wooden frame as support.
Right, so that on the edges it's a lot more uncomfortable.
Right, so it's a lot more uncomfortable on the edges. If you've given the same piece dimensions of wood, you've got a larger surface area of your bed. In the normal one than
right.
In the other one.
I mean, if they're talking about a cot.
Plus, if you, where you're going to stick your feet. Normally, your feet would probably dangle over the edge. Like the beds weren't huge. So, in a dargash, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable because you've got to stick your legs over the top of the frame. Whereas on the normal bed, they're just lying out flat.
I mean, if they're saying it's a cot, well, if you've ever been in a cot,
not for many years.
It's not that comfortable. I mean, even on my Alex loves it. I don't.
Okay.
I mean, he does a lot of camping.
Sleeps in a dargah?
No, he sleeps in a cot.
An arasal. I was thinking about that this morning, because the word arasal, is that spelled like this, arasal? Arasal? Hammock. A hammock? You know a hammock that you string from a tree to a tree?
Mm-hmm.
And you like that, yeah? So that's called, in Hebrew, that's called arasal. Is that with an I? I think so. So could be from the same word here, arasal, arasal.
So if it's a hammock, they'd be using the same technology.
Yeah, it's not really a hammock. I mean, it's no, it's not a hammock. Here you're lying on the ropes. You're not strung up by the ropes.
To make the hammock, it's ropes intertwined.
Where?
In a hammock.
No, they're just stuck on the edge.
No, but in the center.
They're not. There's no ropes in the center of the hammock. It's just a material.
Right, but normally the material is, you know, either a rope hammock.
I know, okay, the ones I've seen are just a piece of material. I don't know if they have a different way of doing it. Leather, you like the leather one?
You know why? Because all you have to turn over the bed. So now you're wearing all leather.
Yeah.
And in that time there was no, it was regular earth.
Yeah.
So maybe it was danger. And second, because of the spirit.
Right. You're right, but it's still not clear exactly what happens to this bed, because even if it is leather, which is why you didn't want to turn it over, but then we said that Rashbag says you undo the tying and it falls. So you let the leather, presumably, if you let the leather fall to the floor, and then what do? You sleep on underneath the bed, just lying on the piece of leather on the ground? Maybe. Well, that's the same argument for not turning it over. So.
But I thought you couldn't sleep underneath the bed.
You can't sleep. You can. You can't sleep under the bed.
Oh, you just can't put food underneath it.
Maybe. Yeah, blin edet. Because the reason why I say you can is because the Gemara discusses whether or not you're allowed to sleep under a bed in a sukkah, and that you're still considered to be in the sukkah or not.
Right, because they were talking about.
And they don't say whether they're not allowed to do it. And Tavi, the slave of Rabbi Yochanan, Lina, used to do that. Used to sleep under his bed in the sukkah. Yeah. With the monsters. Tov.
I don't know. They say the Jew. Non-Jew.
Who? Tavi.
Non-Jew can speak on the bed.
Non-Jew can't.
Can. They're not a
character. Oh, okay. Could be.
Same way they have to wash their hands.
No, but they're not attacked. Right. They don't have the Kedusha, so they don't have the. There's no attraction of the bad stuff, because there's no kedusha to attract them.
Right. Whereas we have the bad stuff now.
Like flies around the light, like moths around the whatever. Okay.
Monsters under the bed. Or at least that's why. When you have five cats, you can easily spot where they are.
Yes. Cats under the bed.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
They come chasing in and out of the bed and then jumping over us.
My next door neighbor ran over a cat on his bike.
Is the cat okay?
Yeah, it ran off. I was shocked. He literally ran over. I was there watching it. The cat ran out as he got on his bike and he drove over to the middle of the cat.
Ooh.
The cat ran off. I don't know if the cat then went and died somewhere, but.
No, the cat ran out. It is pretty healthy. I mean,
anyway, just in
the. I stepped on enough cats this morning.
On his bike. On his bike, he rode over like the middle. Like.
Well, bike isn't that heavy.
I know, but with a guy with a kid on it, kid's like 14-year-old kid. 13, yeah. So anyway, Tom. Not a topic for today. Okay, let's see if we've got 5 minutes to get to the Mishnah.
Do we need to say Tehillim for the cat?
No. Let's...
What does Rashi say?
Oh, interesting. We said Tehillim for a hamster. Live. Amazing. Top. Anyway, my daughter, she got the segula from her marriage, stuck it in his Tehillim. She had a friend around. They all said Tehillim. Finn just lived. Top. He worked even for hamsters. Anyway, no, I want to carry on because we want to get to the Mishnah.
No Rashi, okay.
Beit Tvei, they objected. Clay Eitz, Me'ama Tai, Mekablim Tuma. They objected how? So we're going to see a following brighter, and we'll see how it fits in. Clay Eitz, Me'ama Tai, Mekablim Tuma. If you have a utensil made of wood, at what point does it receive tuma? Meaning, what point does it become susceptible to receive tuma? Right? We know that until it's a kli, until it's considered to be a kli, it can't receive tuma. While you're still making it, you're still fashioning it, you're still, right? It can't yet obtain tuma until it's finished. Right? We learned that in Tainita about the mikvah, very stuff. Tov. Anyway, so at what point does a wooden utensil receive tuma? Meaning, in other words, at what point does a wooden utensil become finished? Answer: Hamita, in the case of a bed, barisa, and a cot, crib. Misha yashufem ba'o hadag, at the point when they're rubbed, shifshaf, with the skin of a fish. Apparently, they didn't have sandpaper, so they used the skin of a fish, scales, to smooth down the wood, right? And then that was the finishing touch. That was the makatama patish. That was the finishing aspect of finishing off the bed. Once you did that, now it's a kli. Bed's a kli, and it can receive tuma.
Besides smoothing it down, it would also oil it.
Also, maybe, and also make it
you
make
need
it smell.
Some kind of oil to absorb wood, so when it's splintered.
Ah, nice, like a lac, like a
sure,
like a resin, like a what do you call it? Lacquer, varnish, yofi. The e, huh?
Because you need some kind of
okay.
You need some kind of oil or beeswax to keep the wood moist or it'll crack.
Yeah, okay, that's could also be the reason. That makes more sense to me. I didn't think I was like trying to work out how it could be like sandpaper to smooth it down, but it's probably not for smoothing it, for oiling it. It's probably more realistic. That works better for me. Anyway, that's what they did. Now, v'imita mesureget me'al gaba. If you want to say a bed is mesureget me'al gaba, has ropes that go around it, like what we said our normal bed frame over here, right? Lama li shifat or hadag? Why do I need to rub it with the fish of hadag? Because you don't see the wood. Okay.
I've seen that where the rope is completely covering wood. The rope is like really, really thin.
Yeah.
It's like at the hardware store over here. And it's like there's actually no wood exposed except for the posts that go up and down.
Okay. Yofi. Okay, so that's a challenge. This is a challenge on our understanding of the difference between a dargash and a mita. We're saying, wait a minute, if a mita has these ropes spun around the outside of the frame, then we wouldn't have a rule that the bed is finished with this fish oil, because it wouldn't need it, because you've got the ropes on top instead. Ella, rather, it must be that we have that's not the correct understanding of a mita. Rather, havaha mitucho. Rather, both this and this mitocho inside it. Both types of bed are actually this one. Neither is done like this. That's not a correct understanding of an old biblical bed. Both of them come through the middle, come through the side. The top, through the side of the plank of wood, you drill a hole in the side, and you do it internally. Right? You do it through the... Right? So what's the difference, if that's the case? Then you've got a mita and a dargash are the same thing. Right? But mita a ole va a foke va visione. The bed, in and out of slits. I'm reading the English here because I don't know the bad translation. Dargash a ole va a foke va iv kata. Whereas in a dargash, the ropes go in and out of loops. So in and out of slits or in and out of loops. That's the difference between the mita and the dargash. Do you have difference between slits and loops on your pictures? It's not 100% clear. He doesn't draw a picture here. He doesn't give a comment of what a slit is and what a loop is. So one possible explanation, this is what I thought, I don't know if it's true, is that if you have the frame, so slit is just the normal one.
It's not the round.
Right? Around the outside, right, they just go through, this is around the back, right? It's not over the top, it's through the middle. Right, that's slits. As far as I understand it, this is my best guess. And loops, I'm thinking, but I might be completely wrong, is you have loops on the bed frame that the ropes go in and out of. And it doesn't actually go slip through the wood, it doesn't go through the wood itself.
So how would you attach them?
So you just need to attach the loops. The loops, I know, I'm assuming, in my head, they're metal loops that are somehow stuck in the side of the wood.
But that doesn't make sense. Metal's really expensive.
It's not a loop. I don't know, a loop made of some other material.
So loop beds used to have these springs that were attached by loops at each end into the metal frame on the outside.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's what held it.
Okay. Is there one? What's he got here?
This is the proof of cut.
Ah.
Does that kill you with that? This is the other one. And the cutting. Is this the same kind of cut? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hello.
Oops.
I was just going to sign away.
His loops, I think the other difference is his loops are stuck on the outside. I put my loops on the inside. He puts his loops on the outside and then...
That makes more sense.
Comes to loop here from here. That's going to loop in the middle.
Because then they can use pegs.
Is this connected with it?
Ugame Amita. It would depend according to which opinion, yeah. But that was our understanding of the normal bed. But until now, we say, but now it's not like that.
Let's just do more of this. That's it.
Right.
The mattress goes into the frame.
Into the frame, that's right. Yeah, because you don't want the frame as part of the bed, as part of it, you lie on, otherwise you get a hard bit and a soft bit. If you're lying on the frame or you're lying on the bed, there's a difference. But here, the whole bed's the same. It's like the same tension. No matter where you are. You need a cloth or whatever.
Because it's inside.
It's lower.
Lower, yes.
so you need to get tested.
You need to
be
honest.
You don't need to be
That's very painful when you come on this.
I know,
path.
If it's rope. It's fine if it's rope.
But here you can still see.
It depends if it's the same rope, then it's not different.
There's no pain, you can say.
Okay, well, we should stop there. We'll finish this tomorrow then.